Elizabeth Elliot says, "There's a difference between a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of more than 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today on the subject of holiness, the pathway to holiness. We said yesterday that holiness does not mean perfection. Our goal is perfection, but God can be continually making us holy day by day as He perfects in us the image of His Son. He is shaping us in the image of Jesus Christ. That's from Romans 8:29. And I read you the first part of Peter's letter to the exiles, in which he says that they were chosen to be made holy. Isn't it an awesome thought that before the foundation of the world, you and I were chosen to be made holy? And even though we may smart under trials now, he compares those trials to the refining process of gold. And if even gold has to go through the fire, certainly you and I are going to have to go through the fire in order that our faith may be refined and proved to stand the test. These trials come so that your faith may prove itself worthy of all praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And he goes on in 1 Peter 1:8 to say, "You have not seen him, yet you love him. And trusting in him now, without seeing him, you are transported with a joy too great for words." That's what trust and faith are about. We can't see him, but we love him and we trust him. Now, let me ask you this. Would God choose us with the purpose of making us holy in mind if he intended for us to do it all by ourselves? Certainly, God knows our frame. God remembers that we are dust, and he knows the impossibility of that. Would God choose us to be holy if he could not carry through his purpose to its full accomplishment? Certainly, he would not. God chooses us to be holy, and God intends to be there with us to carry it through. It is God who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, that gives me tremendous hope. It's my nature to be very self-incriminatory. I easily take blame that sometimes belongs to other people, I'm happy to assume. And if anything goes wrong, I'm always convinced that it's my fault. That's my temperament, melancholic and I don't know what else. But I have to go back to the Word of God. And I realize that even me, God can deal with. Even me, with all my failings and faults and faithlessness, in spite of all the advantages that I've had, and don't you ever imagine that just because I've had a very, very strong Christian background and all possible advantages to make me a Christ-like person, that I am necessarily that. I have been faithless and failing many, many times, and only God knows the corruption of my heart. But he gives me hope that he who has begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're told in Ephesians that he is able to do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. But look at the raw material he has to work with, you and me. Not terribly promising, is it? God has gotten himself a job. "When thou tookest upon thee to deliver man, thou didst humble thyself." That's what the Nicene Creed says. He took upon him to deliver man. Why should he? Why should he bother? Especially in view of the price that he was going to have to pay, the long, weary road that he was going to have to travel, the heavy cross that he was going to have to bear, and the endless divine patience which was going to have to be exercised before he would see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Some of you are familiar with the little book called Daily Light. It's a collection of only scripture verses. It's not a devotional book. There are no meditations in it. It's just a collection of scripture verses arranged for reading morning and evening of each day of the year. And for years and years and years, it has been my companion. I grew up with it. My father read the evening portion of the Daily Light after supper to all of us children as we sat around the dinner table. And all of my companions in the faith, such as Amy Carmichael and Hudson Taylor and the missionaries that I have read and been instructed by and have used as my models, they've all been readers of the Daily Light. It was put together more than 100 years ago by a family named Bagster in London. And I understand that this family not only chose the scriptures together, but they prayed about the combinations of scriptures that are to appear on each page. And then, get this, they prayed each combination into the dates. And as they went through the dates of the year, there would be some days for which they would not get an answer for a long time. And so they would leave that page blank, and they would go on to the next page, and then keep praying about that date that was blank, and eventually the Lord would give them the right scripture verses for that day. And I think perhaps this is a clue to the testimony that everyone that I know who uses the Daily Light regularly has, which is that it is uncanny how often it fits our needs. Well, one of my favorite passages is March 8th. It's the Abel page. I'm going to read it to you. If you get discouraged about whether God is able to make you holy, listen to this. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able. Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having always all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Able to succor them that are tempted. Succor is an old word for help, S-U-C-C-O-U-R. Able to help them that are tempted. Able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Believe ye that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, according to your faith, be it unto you. I had a letter from a 30-year-old woman. She had been divorced 3 years. Her husband moved out in order to move in with a male friend of his. He takes the 3 children on weekends, and this poor lady receives the children back, they having spent the weekend looking at video movies and eating junk food. Very often they come back with colds, even with high fevers. And she, who is a working woman, has to miss work in order to take the children to the doctor. She says, I hate it. I hate it that my children go to spend their weekends with their father and this other man. She writes to ask me to pray for her and her children. Of course, I do. When I receive these tragic letters with these appalling stories that I can hardly imagine, what can I do except just what Hezekiah did, spread the letter before the Lord and say, Lord, undertake for this woman. Lord, you know her need. You see it all. You know the end from the beginning. You know if there's another side to the story. I don't know. But Lord, I submit her to you. I commit her to you and ask that you will enable her to find your meaning in this thing. And back again to the principle of gateway to joy. Even in something like this, is it possible to find joy? Well, let me read to you from a very ancient book, The Confessions of St. Augustine, written back in the 4th century. He says this, "What then takes place in the soul when it is more delighted at finding or recovering things it loves than if it had ever had them? Yea, and other things witness hereunto, and all things are full of witnesses. The conquering commander triumpheth. Yet had he not conquered, unless he had fought. And the more peril there was in the battle, so much the more joy is there in the triumph. The storm tosses the sailors, threatens shipwreck. All wax pale at approaching death. Sky and sea are calmed, and they are exceeding joyed as having been exceeding afraid. A friend is sick, and his pulse threatens danger. All who long for his recovery are sick in mind with him. He is restored, though as yet he walks not with his former strength. Yet there's much joy, as was not when before he walked sound and strong. Yea, the very pleasures of human life men acquire by difficulties, not only those which fall upon us unlooked for and against our wills, but even by self-chosen and pleasure-seeking trouble. Eating and drinking have no pleasure unless there precede the pinching of hunger and thirst. Men given to drink eat certain salt meats to procure a troublesome heat, which the drink allaying causes pleasure. It is also ordered that the affianced bride should not at once be given, lest as a husband he should hold cheap whom as betrothed he sighed not after." True, isn't it, that the very pleasures of human life we acquire by difficulties? And it is through the very trials that God allows to come into our lives that he wants to turn us into holy people.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.